Thankful to be here this morning. I miss church. 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn with me. I'm not going to preach a typical Thanksgiving message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What I want to look at today is thankfulness is hard, but it's fruitful. Thankfulness is hard, but it's fruitful. You see, it's not hard to be thankful. The way the Christian is supposed to be thankful is not easy. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that you bless us with immeasurable, innumerable blessings, that the peace of God passes understanding, that salvation is full and free and eternal, and that all these wonderful things that we know and we're thankful for when we think about them, but we so often fail to be thankful in everything. Lord, as we look to your word this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts, that your spirit would be among us, and cause us to be thankful people who come before you at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. With that introduction, I'd like you to turn back to Luke chapter 17 and tie it back into words of Christ. And this isn't in chronological order by any stretch, because this is just, he's on his way to Jerusalem for the last time before crucifixion. So we've kind of skipped quite a ways ahead. And in Luke chapter 17, we're going to read verses 1 through 19, and we're going to look at three portions together that are often separated, but I want you to get the whole picture here. "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is coming from the field, Go and sit down to me, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, when you look at these three things together, as I said, we're probably familiar with each one of them as a common topic by themselves. But the narrative is, this is what's happening. Jesus teaches the disciples, and then they leave Galilee. They go through Samaria towards Jerusalem, and this is what follows. So when Jesus is speaking about this Samaritan who returns in thanks, you see in verse 17, he's talking to the disciples. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He's talking to the disciples, not the thankful man. He turns to him, and he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So that statement's to the thankful man. The previous statement's to the disciples. And when you look at it in context of what's going on, Jesus is really driving home some principles that he just walked through with them in Galilee, or on the road from Galilee to Samaria. Excuse me. This last man, this leper, is probably one of the most common Thanksgiving messages there are. That this man was thankful. God did so much for him. And you can get a lot of lessons about thanks from this passage. And a lot of lessons about unthankfulness as well. The other 9. Excuse me. But what I want you to notice this morning is this man is thankful for what was amazing. For something amazing that happened to him. He had a death sentence. He was a leper. There was no cure. You watched. It wasn't even an internal thing where you just feel like you're dying. You watched yourself die. Not only that, but the Jews and the Samaritans, when you got leprosy, you were exiled. And you weren't just exiled to away, you were sent to the leper colonies. So you're watching yourself die, and you're watching everybody around you rot away. Talk about a depressing life. These 10, they see Jesus, and they say, "Master, have mercy on us." They knew who Jesus was. They knew his power to heal. They gave him place in their life. They called him Master. They believed on him. They obeyed him, and therefore they were healed. So they all had faith. But the one we toot his horn, we trumpet him, because he was thankful. But really, was his thanks that great? Because he was thankful for something amazing. And it's wonderful that he was thankful. Jesus commended his thankfulness. I'm not trying to demote that at all. But it's easy to be thankful for the amazing, isn't it? When you see God do something great in your life, it should be the first thing out of your mouth is, "Praise the Lord," or "Thank you, Lord." Or you want to pick up the phone or go meet with somebody and say, "Hey, look at what God has done for me." It's easy to be thankful for the amazing. But life isn't always amazing. Life isn't always amazing. You know, there's nothing in this passage that says the other 9 were not thankful. It just says they didn't come and give glory to God. There's nothing that says they were not thankful. They could have been thankful with thank offerings. They could have been thankful as they showed themselves to the priest. They could have been thankful in their conversation to each other. They could have been praising Jehovah God in heaven and not fully giving Christ the credit of being God in the flesh. This one Samaritan did. That was the difference. But when you look at this context altogether, and what the Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, Jesus starts this this passage, if you will, with, "Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come." The Bible tells us, in everything give thanks. And Jesus, time and time and time again, says, the world will hate you. If you love me, They will persecute you. It says, love them that persecute you. Again and again and again and again and again. Jesus says, it is impossible but that offenses will come. There is no way out of them. Life isn't amazing. Life hurts. Life has emotional ups and downs. Life has all of these things. But the Bible says in everything, and I love how it doesn't say in everything, it says in everything. God puts some emphasis right there. In everything, give thanks. But the same God reminds us, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. In other words, God doesn't contradict. There's no change. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. So in other words, God's saying, be thankful when you're offended. Be thankful when someone is out to get you. Be thankful when life falls apart. Be thankful in everything. And everything includes the bad times. See, the Christian's thankfulness that the Bible commands us to do is not easy. It's actually hard. But it is fruitful. Here in these first few verses, someone comes and and offends you, and God says, yeah, tie a millstone about his neck, throw him in the sea. So you say, well, God's on my side. Man, this person's awful. But God says, forgive him. And if he does it again, forgive him again. If he does it seven times, the same thing, seven times in the same day, forgive him. Oh man, how can I be that forgiving? Well, I just really got to work on forgiveness. You know, there's some thankfulness. And you have to forgive somebody that much. You have to see through that person and look to Christ. That is the only way. And the only way that's going to work is if you are thankful for what Christ has done for you. If you can reflect the forgiveness that Christ has given you towards that one. Maybe it's their life goal to make your life miserable. Forgive them. Because you know what? We were at enmity with God. But before we were born, He sent His Son to die for our sins. We ignore Him when He tells us to do something, and yet He leads us on and gives us another opportunity to serve Him. We take the credit for ourselves when He blesses us, and yet He blesses us again. So many times we offend God, and yet He forgives us whether we asked for it or not. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You have a problem with somebody? You have a problem with something? You have a problem. And God says, be tender-hearted. Be soft and pliable. Be kind. Put away our selfish reactions. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Think about that. If that is our basis for everything, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. If that is always our basis, we can forgive the offenses. because a greater forgiveness was given to us. We might have to forgive one little thing at the moment. But when Christ died on the cross, He forgave all of the sin of your entire life in that one moment. Our forgiveness is less than a grain of sand. Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Proverbs, before we turn there, Proverbs 9 and verse 8, or as you're turning there, Luke 17 verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. It's a measure. It's a attention you're paying inside in your spiritual man. First of all, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, we have a correlating truth. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. The way to rebuke when we're offended is not to lash out, return the offense. It's not. It's not to do something to say, serves you right. No. It is tender-hearted. It is with the with the attitude of the forgiveness that we have received, being thankful for that, therefore giving forgiveness to others. And understanding that gentle rebuke is what will make the difference in a potential scorner to lead him to be a wise man. But then on the flip side of the picture, we also have when we receive rebuke. Oh, they don't know me. Why are they saying that? Oh, they don't understand the situation. You can't say that kind of stuff to me. That, man, you get an offense from being rebuked, right? But it says here that a wise man will receive rebuke and love for it. Maybe the offense that you've taken, that you've felt, is not actually something offensive, but it struck your sin chords and got your ire up that way. We need to be a wise man, a wise woman, and understand that was rebuke. It was honest, truthful, necessary, and we need to be subject to it and love. Be appreciative of it. Be thankful for it because someone loved you enough to get out of their comfort zone and say, hey, you kind of need to work on this area. Oh, no, I don't. You know how much trouble that person had to go through to work up those words? I know some people, they don't seem to have any trouble with that at all. I do. If I see something that needs brought up, I will beat around the bush. I will take my time. I will wait as long as I possibly can and then hope that somebody else does it first. I don't like to be the one that says, hey, you need to work on something. But we need, when someone does say that to us, we need to listen. We need to receive that rebuke with thankfulness. Because even if it isn't necessarily 100% correct for your life, there's something that you need to glean from it. If thy brother trespass against thee, and I'm going to say whether he do something wrong or whether he's rebuking you and you perceive it as a trespass, forgive him. And be thankful. See Christ through him, through her. Look for the truth. Look for God's hand. Be thankful for what God has done. So that's the first thing that Jesus is teaching here. Thankfulness is a part of overcoming offenses. The apostles, they're beginning to understand this. They understand the volume of what Jesus is saying. And for once, they manage to do this occasionally. They give the right answer. Lord, increase our faith. I don't think I can do that, but I need your help here. Lord, increase our faith. This is one of the reasons I think that a passage on being thankful immediately follows it. Because thankfulness is a groundwork, a foundational stone, if you will, for increasing faith. If you look through all the thankful passages in the Bible, they're filled with praise, with consideration, with meditation on what God has done. Now, when you do those things, what happens? You increase in faith. You increase in trust. You increase in knowledge of God because you're dwelling on who He is and what He does. See, thankfulness puts you in the position to build faith, to have a greater understanding of God. Philippians 4 and verse 6, again, another very common thankful passage. But I want you to notice the premise that is here. Be careful for nothing, that is worried, weighed down with care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You have something that worries you, you have something that weighs you down, you have something you don't understand. Oh yes, we need to pray about it. And if it's really important, we need to supplicate. We need to pour our hearts out with prayer. Lord, I need help in this area. And we forget the last part. It says, with thanksgiving. You want to see God work in this area that is weighing you down? Pray with thanksgiving. Supplicate with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is a groundwork for increasing in faith, for seeing what God can do. Read through your Bible through prayers and look at how many prayers reference something that God did for that the one praying previously or something that God did for someone else. They reference it again and again. What are they doing? Well, we often say, well, you got to remind God of His marvelous works. Is it only that? No. They're being thankful for not just reminding God, but saying, God, you can do this. Thank you, Lord, that you have the power. Thank you that you have the ability. Thank you that you demonstrate this to mankind. There is a thankfulness in that. There is a positioning of our hearts to see the fullness of God's power that really only comes and solidifies by thankfulness. It's not just, God, I know you can do this, and I need you to do it for me. That's fairly demanding, and we don't have that right. We know that God can do it, and it would be wonderful to see Him to do it again. You know, It's not wrong to even thank Him before He does it. Thank you, Lord, that you've done these things before, and thank you that you can do them again and that you will do them again. It's not wrong to thank Him in advance. In fact, I forget who it was that we listened to. We hadn't been married very long, and we listened to some preacher, and he was talking about how, you know, we pray for things. We need to be thankful at least as much as we prayed for something after the fact. But how often do we just, we pray, we see God provide, that's great, we move on. Or maybe God did provide and we didn't even take the time to notice. Because we're not really thankful people. But the Bible talks about the Christian life being filled with thankfulness in everything. In offenses, when things are hard, when things are bad. Thankfulness, the real, true thankfulness, is not easy. But it increases faith. And back in our text, the second portion, the second lesson that Jesus is giving is to be thankful to labor. Oh, we look at this passage and usually we look at it as a lesson on what is our duty. And really, as humans, we fail God more often than not, don't we? We want something back from Him when we deserve nothing. The only thing we deserve is to serve Him. And it talks about, well, the master does not owe the servant any thanks. And he doesn't. God doesn't owe us thanks. A boss who pays somebody to do a job can thank that employee, but they don't owe them thanks. That's what you came to do, and that's what I promised to pay you for. There's your pay. Job's done. Great. Have a nice evening. They don't. This passage is very clearly laid out. It's just simple, basic humanity. The boss doesn't owe thanks. He owes fair recompense, and that's it. But as you understand this passage, the worker, the servant, owes the boss thanks. Saying, what? He's just doing his job. In fact, he only did his duty. He didn't even go above and beyond. Think about how often we do the same old, same old, same old, same old, and it becomes a drudgery. And, man, do I have to go to work tomorrow? Oh, man, it was a horrible day at work. Man, I hate my boss, or whatever else. Are we just thankful to have a job? Are we just thankful to have the ability to move? The ability to use our bodies? Can we just be thankful that our needs are met? It'll change your entire perspective about your day. When the hard times, maybe you don't have an offense at the moment, maybe you don't have worries at the moment, maybe life is just hard because it's drudgery. I'll tell you the fastest way to fix that. Be thankful you've got a life. Be thankful you've got salvation. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. You see, this servant didn't have to. He had a job. He could go be the prodigal son, wishing he could eat the pig slop. But that prodigal son realized, the servants in my father's house are better off than me. This servant, man, he's sweating, he's dirty, he's filthy, he's stinky, he's tired. He comes in, the master says, wash up, go make me dinner. And in this portion, the servant doesn't say, do I have to? This servant doesn't say anything except he does it. And then after everything's done, after the master and his house are fed, the dishes are cleared, the kitchen is clean, everything's done, then the servant goes and has his meal. I'm betting he's pretty hungry at this point. But he doesn't complain. Why? Because when you invert the story, you have a thankful servant. This servant is thankful. He's got a job. He's got a roof over his head. He's got food to eat and things to drink and clothes to wear. He might not have the greatest job. He might have an absolutely horrible job. His job is way harder than anything that most of us would be willing to do. Think, you read through that passage and put yourself in that servant's shoes. And his wage is a roof, food, and clothes. Would you be willing to work that hard just for your expenses to be covered and nothing more? But this servant was. You have a thankful servant. Someone who had learned, or obviously it's a parable, but the premise is someone who is thankful in everything. He's got a different perspective on life. Are we thankful every time we get a paycheck? Are we thankful for every experience in life, no matter how hard it was? Are we thankful for every difficulty? Are we thankful for every worry that shouldn't be a worry but should be turned into thankfulness? Folks, thankfulness, real, true thankfulness that is so much greater when something amazing happens, is founded when we're thankful in everything. When we're thankful in the hard things. One more thing to notice about the servant is he knew it was a humble job. At the end of the day, he didn't say, I deserve a raise. I deserve more. I'm saving up for retirement. He said, we're unprofitable servants. We've only done our duty. I didn't get anything extra done for the master today. There's a humility there that is only possible if he has a thankful attitude. Then we have Christ coming into a certain village in Samaria, and these 10 that meet him say, Master, have mercy on us. Yeah, that's the first step in thankfulness. Identify the master. Identify who you're living for. And ask for mercy. See, these 10 received healing because they had faith and they asked for mercy. This passage begins with, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. What gets us through offenses? What gets us through hard times? Somebody help me out here. The mercy of God. That's what gets you through. The mercy of God. And these 10 lepers, they didn't say, Jesus, heal us. They didn't say, do for us what you've done for others. They didn't say a lot of these other things that other people say. They said, Master, have mercy on us. What perfect words to follow these lessons the disciples, that Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. Master, have mercy on us. The disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. Great starting place. Great understanding that we need more faith. But for us to increase our faith, we need first to say, Master, have mercy on us. And receive that mercy and be thankful for it. That's where we're going. When they asked for mercy, he saw them and he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And they obeyed. He didn't say, you're healed. He said, go and do something for me. He said, well, he didn't say, go do it for him. He said, go show themselves to the priest. This is still the transition between Old Testament and New Testament. They're still under the law. Jesus told them, go and obey what God has told you to do. Show yourselves to the priests that take a sacrifice for cleansing. They had faith enough to believe in the mercy of Jesus to go and obey the commands of God that they knew. And once they obeyed, they received that mercy, the fullness of that mercy. You see, there was a step involved. They acknowledged, first of all, they needed mercy. But it wasn't just a head knowledge. It wasn't just 10 lepers sitting by the gate, seeing Jesus afar off and saying, man, if he would have mercy on me. Man, if he would do something for me like he did for others. Man, I wonder if the stories are true. No, they asked for mercy, and then they obeyed. They didn't say, no, Jesus, you don't understand. I'll go show myself to the priest. Sure, that's fine. I'll do what you want me to do, but what I'm not just asking for mercy. I'm really asking for healing. I was just trying to be polite and be, you know, just say it nicely and not sound too selfish. They didn't say anything like that. They just obeyed. And when they obeyed, they received. Now, again, as I mentioned to begin with, they all rejoiced. They all rejoiced. Man, that was one happy crowd going into that village. There was 9 men jumping and shouting, look at me! There is no, you cannot convince me that as they went, they were healed and went, huh, look at that. That's ludicrous. If you're dying of leprosy, your body's rotting, and all of a sudden you feel a rush of energy and healing, you would feel that healing. You would feel your body regenerating. That is an unimaginable sensation. You cannot convince me that they didn't rejoice. They all probably thought, thanks to God. To what degree they gave thanks to God, or what degree they thought, hey, he did what we wanted. You know, we don't know. We don't know their hearts. It doesn't say. The passage focuses on one gave more thanks. And this man, what makes him stand out is that his thankfulness, his rejoicing, made him stop what he was doing and take time with Christ. Have you ever looked at it that way? They were obeying. They were doing what God wanted. They were on their way fulfilling God's will for them. I mean, that's the only way you can read this. But one stopped what he was doing, as important as it was, and took time with Christ. That's the kind of thankfulness he had. Oh, we feel like we're thankful when we just continue blundering on. Thank you, Lord. Blunder, blunder, blunder. Thank you, Lord. Blunder, blunder, blunder. Thank you, Lord. This man stopped what he was doing and gave real thanks. Gave thorough thanks. And you know what it did for him? Jesus spoke directly to him and said, arise, get up off your knees, go forth from this time with me, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This man's life was entirely changed in a way the other 9 never got to taste. And Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. This man got more faith than the other ones did. This one had a whole life afterwards. Now, this is a surmise, but maybe the other nine just went back to the law and following commandments. I mean, that's, they were doing what God said. Go show yourself to the priest. Go offer the sacrifice for cleansing. Go offer the thank offering. All right, let's do it. Maybe from that point on, they went right back under the law. But this man got up off his knees and lived a life of faith, a whole life. There's a difference. One gave more thanks. He was in a position of horrible adversity, horrible offense with just life in general. He asked for mercy. He obeyed. And he was thankful for it. And he received the fruit of faith. Again, real thanks that pervades our life is not easy. In fact, God says that it is sacrifice. You know that? You say, well, it's not that hard to be thankful. You're lying to yourself. Otherwise, if it wasn't that hard to be thankful, we'd all be a lot more thankful. You ever stop and think about that? Even God, who knows the hearts of all men, equated thankfulness with sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Well, something dies, doesn't it? Under the law, a lamb would die to cover sins. A goat would die. An oxen would die. Turtle doves would die to cover sins. To offer thanks, to acknowledge God. But it wasn't just, oh, they killed an animal. It was an outward symbol of what was supposed to be going on in the heart. Which, under New Testament, under grace, we're just supposed to have the old man die. And that our flesh, our desires. But something still got to die. Jesus died for our sins. Sometimes, as our sins are brought to light and we give them over to God, it feels like part of us is dying. In fact, it's so tangible sometimes that Jesus illustrated it as, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Jesus said sometimes getting sin out of your life really hurts. It's like you maimed yourself. Sometimes being thankful hurts just as much. Lord, there's nothing to be thankful about right now. Lord, Luke 17, you said that guy should be thrown into the sea with a rock around his neck. You said that, God. That's how we usually feel like. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. God, who knows all, says, by him, that is Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually in everything give thanks. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The sacrifice of praise is our lips giving thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Everything gives thanks in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving, real thanksgiving that pervades your life, is not easy. It's a sacrifice, and God understands. And you know what? God appreciates it. God rewards it. God rewards it with faith. Increases it. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus took them to a certain village and showed them a lesson in thankfulness. He gave them an opportunity right there to increase their faith. Hebrews 13:15, again, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. This is the will of God concerning you. In everything, give thanks. For the good times, yes, the amazing things in life. Give thanks for those. If you don't give thanks for those, you're in really bad shape. But give thanks in the hard times. In the difficult times, in the offenses, give thanks for Christ's sake, for all He's done for you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You have given us the ability to communicate with You, to thank You for all that You have done for us. Help us to take these lessons and to remember that it is something we must work on, that we do need Your help on, that we need to do it by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to, not just this week, but as we move forward in our lives, as that leper stood up and went his way whole, help us to go from this place more whole than before, with a thankfulness that goes through all of our lives because of all the many things You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, would you come?